This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Friends in Christ, welcome to this time of worship here at Wayside. We acknowledge that as we gather, Jesus Christ's arms are open wide in welcome. So friends, wherever you find yourself in your journey of life and faith today, know that you are welcome here, and it is good that you are here. As we begin our worship, I would direct your attention to the announcements that are in the worship bulletin. Something that is coming up is the opportunity to participate in the Erie City Mission food bag for Thanksgiving. You'll find these red food bags out in the lobby. The idea is for you to take one or two or several of these, and the items that the City Mission is looking for are listed on here. The total amount is somewhere between $12 and $14, depending on your choices for these items. Fill them up, return them, and we're going to collect them up here for the next few weeks so that we can share them with the Erie City Mission. If you would like to participate, but going shopping is not something you like to do, there is an envelope where you can leave a check or cash for someone else to go purchase items. And if you would like to help contribute to the turkey fund for this purchase, as you can tell, we don't want turkeys just sitting up here for weeks, but the Erie City Mission will be buying turkeys in bulk, and so if you'd like to contribute to that, there's an envelope out there as well. The Erie City Mission does 1,200 of these baskets and bags, and we're doing 50. So it's a way for us to participate in a large effort to share with our community at that time of year. Lois, I think you have an announcement.
Good morning. Last week I was here for Habitat for Humanity, and I shared with you that the Faith Build for this year is ongoing through the months of September and October. And they are having difficulty finding volunteers for whatever reason. They've discovered that fall isn't such a good time, that summer is probably better. But for this year, they're committed to that. And so they've been working Thursdays, Fridays, and Saturdays, and the house is going up. We had sent teams. We signed up for 4 different days, and some Waysiders have already gone, and we have some other Waysiders that will be going in the next few weeks. But if there is anyone else here who would like to volunteer, you don't have to be an expert builder. All you need is a willing heart, and they show you exactly what to do. There is a sign-up table out in the lobby. I have 8 different days that they still need people to work. So if you're able and willing to take a day off from work, or there is one Saturday that is available, please see me in the lobby after church. You do have to sign a waiver, and I'll give you all the information you need. Thank you.
Others had announcements. Keith?
If you've not received a heart from one of the children, would you please raise your hand?
Anyone if you haven't received one of those adhesive hearts, okay. Stick your hand
the other,
up there.
We'll make sure you have other thing is, this week, my thing fell off, is Asbury Woods Outing for children and families. It is designed for children in 5th grade and younger from 4:30 until 6. There'll be a program run by the staff of the center, and then everyone in the congregation is invited to the potluck dinner down by the playground at 6 o'clock. If perchance it's raining, we will have the dinner here, but the program will go on even with rain. I do need to hear from you. The center needs to plan for crafts and activities, the number of folks who are coming. Children are $5. Adults are free. We hope that you'll participate in this good adventure.
This morning, we're going to be singing a response to confession, and so let's take a quick look at that. You'll find that on the first page of the inside, the bottom of that first page. We're going to just sing the first verse together, and Dawn can get us started here.
Thank you. join me in the call to worship. We come from a week of hollow loneliness and lovely companionship, strained relations and graceful understandings. We gather this morning to reach out in goodwill toward our sisters and brothers in Christ. We come from a week of sharp heartaches and gentle joys, wrenching stress and healing recreation. We gather this morning to seek rest and renewal for our spirits. We come from a week of straying commitment and positive purpose, blurred focus and keen insight. We gather this morning to center ourselves in worship, confessing Jesus Christ as our Savior, to Creator God, who draws us together. We offer heartfelt thanks and praise.
Please be seated. In your worship bulletin, you'll find a strip of black paper like this. I ask you to take this paper in your hand. And when we enter into a silent prayer, this is an opportunity for you to search your heart, to consider those whom you need to forgive or whom you struggle to forgive. These strips of paper are symbolic of our struggle to forgive and our need to forgive and all that remains unforgiven. So let us turn to God in prayer. God of invitation, you always call out to us to follow. We often do our best, and yet often we are stopped by our sense of having been wronged. We struggle to let go what feels to us unfair and unjust. At the same time, we are selective in understanding how we have wronged others. You call to us to follow. In Jesus, you show us how love overcomes what harms us. You teach us how to mend what we have broken. In silence, hear us as we lay before you what we have done and what we've left undone, the world's brokenness in which we participate, And those hurts and grudges we have given too much power, may these dark and unresolved matters be symbolized by these dark papers in our hands. Hear us as we pray in silence. Amen. As we're singing, some young people are going to pass baskets to collect these dark sheets, and they will be presented to God to reveal in us all that needs healing and the forgiveness that God offers. Let's remain seated as we sing together. Many thanks to our young people for helping us with our prayer of confession. Join me in the litany of assurance. Create in me a clean heart, O God. As far as the east is from the west, so far do I remove your sin from you. Another act of our worship this morning is you receive these little heart-shaped stickers. So affix one of those to yourself as a sign that you are forgiven and that you desire to be forgiving. Friends, hear the good news. In Jesus Christ, our sin is forgiven. Amen.
I'd like to invite all the children to come up, and if you are to receive a Bible, I'd like you to stand right here. The rest of the children, just have a seat up front, please. Are Fia and Gabriella here? I want you to sit on the step, right? Come on up, girls. This is a Bible for both of you to share, okay? We hope you enjoy that. Leroy, where are you, bud? Leroy, I know I saw you. There you are. You're too close. I couldn't see you. There's a Bible from our church. Jackson, I saw you today. There's Jackson. There you are. Lucy? Yeah, Lucy, right here, right behind me. There you are. Enjoy it. Absolutely. Isaac, I saw you here. Where's Isaac? Oh, here he is. You're hiding behind somebody there. Wonderful. Enjoy that Bible. It's a great one. Is anyone else? I have them if you don't. Everyone else got a Bible? He has one. Okay, we're good. All right. I think we're good then. All right. Enjoy the Bibles. They are just great Bibles. We looked very hard for those. The committee studied different Bibles and found that these we thought were the very best for you to have and enjoy with your parents. I have a very simple question to start our lesson today. What is this a map of? What is this a map of? Yes. United States of America. That's right. We can see black lines all around that divide up the what? States. But they're colored in groups. What can that be about? See? We've got all the states on there, but they're colored together in different groups. So, you know, to understand that, what this map is, you need to understand that when you look at a map of the United States, you're looking at a map of the Presbyterian Church in the USA. It's the same map. We Presbyterians divide ourselves up according to countries. So if you're part of this church, you're not a part of the Church of Scotland or England or Colombia or any other country. You're a member of this church in the United States. And we as Presbyterians group ourselves into our own states. They're called synods. So the coloring of the different states together makes the Presbyterian states, or synods we call them. And ours is over here. It's the light blue. And what states does that seem to encompass? What does it include? Yes. Pennsylvania. And what's below it? A little bit of Ohio. You're right. Good eyes. That's a really small part. Just a little small part of Ohio in the corner. And what's this state right below it? It's not New York's above. West Virginia. Good job. All right. So that makes up what we call the Synod of the Trinity. That's our state that we belong to. It's the Synod of the Trinity is the name of it, and Sue Wunderlin is our executive interim director. She is a wonderful lady. She works tirelessly for the church, trying to help congregations and with ministries, and she has great enthusiasm and energy for our synod, and we're very grateful for her. The reason I'm telling you is this today, this seems like a funny thing to talk about for a children's sermon, but today is the 300th birthday of our synod. Our synod was the first one in the Presbyterian Church in the United States, and so that makes it the oldest synod in the United States. And in Presbyterian style, it started on September 17th, 1717, with a meeting. That's what we do, and we have right from the beginning, we have meetings. Over the centuries, the Synod of the Trinity has helped start colleges, Presbyterian hospitals, ministries, and programs. It has helped with pastors and churches and dealt with crises and been helpful. My family, my children and Barb and I used to go to synod school, which was one of our favorite things and favorite memories of the synod. They would hold a week-long camp with lessons and activities and worship and games, and we would go, and all of us who went, and actually Nikki Jarris used to go, and others used to go to synod school. I don't want to leave anybody out. Oh, Linda, Laura, yes, the Jarris's did. We would bring ideas back to do in our own churches. So the synod school was a wonderful teaching tool for all the congregations, and we miss that. The future of our synods is in question. We don't know if we're always going to have synods. There's some conversation that they maybe are not as helpful as they used to be. But the last 300 years, they have been invaluable to ministry and helping our state and West Virginia and Ohio do wonderful things together. So we're celebrating the Synod of the Trinity this day. It's okay. Let's say a prayer as we give thanks. We give thanks, O God, for the long and good history of the Synod of the Trinity. We're grateful for all the good folks who led our synod and so many others who carried out her ministry. Bless our leaders now and show them the direction you believe is best for the church. This we pray in Jesus' name. Would everyone say amen? Very good. And thanks for all your help with the baskets and the hearts. Good job, everybody.
Please join me in the prayer for illumination. Shine the light of your grace and the truth upon our pathways, so we may always walk the way you show us in your word. Amen. Listen now to the reading from Matthew 18, 21 through 35, in which we hear Jesus teach about the high calling for all who follow him to forgive. You'll find this on page 20 in the New Testament version of the Pew Bible. Then Peter came and said to him, "Lord, if another member of the church sins against me, how often do I forgive him? As many as seven times?" Jesus said to him, "Not seven times, but I tell you, 77 times. For this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. When he began the reckoning, one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him, and he could not pay. His lord ordered him to be sold, together with his wife and children and all of his possessions, and payment to be made. So the slave fell upon his knees before him, saying, "Have patience with me, and I will pay you everything." And out of pity, the lord of that slave released him and forgave him the debt. But that same slave, as he went out, came upon one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii. And seizing him by the throat, he said, "Pay what you owe." Then his fellow slave fell down and pleaded with him, "Have patience with me, and I will pay you." But he refused. Then he went and threw him into prison until he should pay the debt. When his fellow slaves saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to their lord all that had taken place. Then the lord summoned him and said to him, "You wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not have had mercy upon your fellow slave as I had mercy on you?" And in anger, his lord handed him over to be tortured until he should pay his entire debt. So my heavenly Father will also do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother and sister from your heart. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The strangest thing happened one day. I was waiting in line at the drive-through window at a fast food restaurant. And after my order was taken and I was moving along to the window to pay, the woman in the car in front of me leaned out of her window and looked back, and with a big smile, she waved at me. I was pretty sure I didn't know who she was, but she acted like she knew me. She was smiling and waving. I looked around at the car behind me to see if she was waving at them, but she seemed to be waving at me. I felt a little self-conscious. I had to make sure my hair was straight, tie was on. This overt friendliness kind of caught me off guard. I was completely mystified. The woman at the window where I had to pay for my meal had a bit of a foreign accent, so her words were inflected differently, and she gestured toward the woman who had been waving at me, and she said, "She got it for you." What? Now I was really baffled. I handed the woman my money. She said, "No, she got it for you. She paid for your meal." I was both embarrassed and amazed. It was a relatively expensive order, and she was gone without a trace. She had paid for my lunch. I did not know who she was. It was the strangest thing. Strange because this is not the kind of economy we think we live in. And by economy, I don't only mean money. I mean the sort of broad sense of values and worth that define and determine who we are. In his parable, Jesus isn't really talking about money. He's talking about the way we are valued and the way we value each other. It all starts because Peter is placing a value on the grace of forgiveness. When does someone finally wear out my good grace of forgiveness? With each time I forgive someone, am I allowed to clench my hand a little tighter and a little tighter and withhold love and understanding a little bit more so that there comes a point at which there's none left and forgiveness is withheld? How about 7 times? A nice, holy number. Jesus takes Peter's little economy of grace and blows it out of the water as Jesus enters the landscape of hyperbole by choosing an incredibly large number whether it is 77 times, which is a lot, or 70 times 7, which is a whole lot more. Jesus is teaching us about the economy of forgiveness. We become confused. We think forgiveness is a commodity to distribute. I'm never going to forgive her as long as I live, we say. Jesus shows what he sees as too common. We value forgiveness when it's being offered to us. The king in the parable offers a ridiculously large amount of forgiveness. Scholars will say that it's the equivalent of 150,000 years worth of income in dollars. But think of it, 150,000 years worth of errors, sins, wrongdoing, wrong thinking, mean-spiritedness, all forgiven at once. The slave pleaded for mercy, and it was given. And yet, when the shoe is on the other foot, and the man who owes him almost nothing asks for a little mercy and patience, no, it's all over. This evil slave in the story has turned the grace of forgiveness into a weapon by withholding it. He's taken something wonderful and used it like a stick to beat the man. He has it to use it for good, but he withholds it for evil. Jesus makes it clear this is the nature of our seriously broken world. We have a messed up economy. The sense of values we have and the way that determines and defines how we treat each other, it's messed up. A memorable line that sticks in my mind states this perfectly, comes from Patrick Starr, SpongeBob SquarePants sidekick. In one episode, Patrick said, "You broke my heart. Now I'm going to break something of yours." It's simple and to the point. This is unfortunately a strong statement of how we value each other. But in the kingdom of God, people are measured differently. You may remember a story from Luke where Jesus enters the house of a man of great religious faith. And while they're at dinner, a woman comes in who begins weeping, and she washes Jesus' feet with her tears. And the religious man is disgusted by this act, and he upbraids Jesus for not knowing what kind of woman she was. And Jesus says that she, whose sins are many, has found mercy because of her act and her need that she acknowledged. But he, whose sins are few, has not found mercy because he refused to show mercy. It's an amazing thing to consider that it is in the act of forgiving and in the act of mercy that we are able to more correctly view what forgiveness and what mercy has been done for us. It's until we show mercy that we cannot begin to grasp the value of all that is done for us. We certainly think about how Jesus came and lived and taught and healed and was arrested and crucified and died in order to forgive us. When we expand our forgiveness and our mercy, it is as though we open a new window onto who Jesus is, and we can expand our understanding of who God is. Jesus not only took care of all the sin and wrongdoing that we have been guilty of in the past, forgiving a great debt, Jesus also paid forward for us, for all humankind, a prepayment of mercy and kindness and goodness and justice in joyful expectation that we, who claim his name for our own, will live it forward. When we come upon the one who can be said to owe us some debt, the call of Christ is to deal with each person in light of the mercy and forgiving love of God. We must remember that for each person we deal with, there is in their heart, in their soul, that 10,000 talent worth of debt. Perhaps they own that sense of 150,000 years worth of brokenness in their soul that they must bear before the living God, just like each one of us. So really that puts everyone at the same place. And so we serve the kingdom of Christ. We exemplify and give a good witness to him and his way when we approach each person with the one tool that can settle the account we have with them and that they have with God. And that one tool available to all people is forgiveness. Forgiveness. This speaks to us volumes concerning who Jesus is and the value he places on each human life. Mine, yours, all. Amen.
Please be seated. Let us turn to our prayers for the community, as they're printed in the bulletin. We're grateful for all those who serve around the world, and our prayers go out to all those who are listed here. New Hope Presbyterian Church is in our prayers, and the Reverend Charlie McClung, where he serves, nice, good pastor. And Reverend Lita Sedek, who is a friend of our congregation, who continues to teach spirituality in the community. The hurricane survivors are in our prayers. Harvey and Irma have done great damage. Certainly we're concerned about their well-being and hope we can help in some way. Let us prepare ourselves for prayer. Holy Spirit, we start our day-to-day conversations with one another, often about the weather. Maybe it's a place to start our prayers as well. We have concerns about those who have survived terrible storms and hope that they are able to rebuild their homes and lives. We've been in awe of our beautiful weather in northwest Pennsylvania, and at times have wondered why we escape such dangers. Even the weather reminds us of you, O God, both fearful and wonderful. Out of the whirlwind, you spoke to Job. On soft fall breezes, you whisper to us. Keep us ever mindful of you. Our prayers are as close as our hearts and beat within us. We ask for healing from illness and surgery, for comfort from grief, for clarity from confusion, for hope from despair, for peace from enmity, for direction from lostness, for wisdom from conflicting ideas, for love from hate, for inspiration from stale ideas of ministry, for generosity from great needs. Lead us into the answers to our prayers and guide us into the change of the seasons of our lives and the storms we endure. As Jesus bid us pray, so we unite in his words and purpose for our lives, praying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. God's gifts come so quickly and so frequently that we become insensitive to their receipt. Our weekly offering is in part an acknowledgement that God's gifts are never ceasing and that we hope to pass on some of what we have received. What blessings God imparts from the gifts we give, we will never know in their entirety. But with them go our thanks for all that we've received from God, from whom all blessings flow.
Jesus.
Almighty God, multiply these gifts in creative ways. As they spread, may they be used to benefit people of all ages and in all places. May they bring life and laughter, solace and encouragement. May they be a means by which your love and grace may reach others. Bless them in ways we cannot imagine, but serve your purposes. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, let all our people say, Amen.
How fortunate we are to live in the promise of forgiveness, to live each day in the light of that grace. So let us, empowered by God's Spirit, go into the world, open-handed, open-hearted, ready to forgive as we have been forgiven. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the fellowship and the power of the Holy Spirit be with you all today and forever. Amen.